We're joined once again by our pal Ian Epstein, co-founder of PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell any active sports bet. Ian, welcome back to the show. And the World Series, what, Nationals up 2-0 on Houston. Bit surprising they were able to get out of Houston, winning both of those games. How many tickets have you seen put up for sale on Houston?
So the biggest World Series underdog in 12 years went on the road, took 2 games against the 2 top Cy Young contenders. I'm pretty sure no one had that happening. But, you know, there are no locks in sports, and so that's why PropSwap is here, because you can always, get out of your position. Not surprisingly, you know, no one wanted to sell Astros tickets until they're down 2-0. But once they did go down 2-0, we started to see a bunch of Astros tickets hit the marketplace, including one last night. One of our bigger sales of the season, a guy bet $5,000 on the Astros to win the World Series back in April at 7-1 odds. So that means this ticket collects $40,000. His win of 35 plus the 5 back. Ticket collects $40,000. He put it up for sale. We got a bid on the ticket of $10,500. He thought about it a little bit, and he said accept. And so that ticket went down for $10,500. The seller still makes a nice chunk of profit after our commission, right? He still clears $9,500, a profit of $4,500. And then meanwhile, for the buyer gets odds of plus 280, right? He basically spends $10,000 to win $30,000. And so those are the best odds in the world. Right now, Astros, you can find, are about plus 220, plus 230. So the buyer here gets the best odds in the world, and the seller gets out of a bad investment.
Wow. Yeah, that is incredible. And then kind of on the flip side of that, what kind of tickets have you seen being bought or sold on the Nationals side of things?
Yeah, so the Nationals were a very hot ticket heading into the World Series, and I think we talked about a couple sales last week. I may be repeating myself, but we had a couple tickets where the sellers got 50-1 odds back in July. One ticket where a guy bet $200 on 50-1, sold that ticket for $3,500. Another guy who bet $100 sold that ticket for $1,600. So we were seeing some big profits being made on Nationals tickets. And then, you know, those buyers were scooping them up at odds of plus 200, plus 210 before the series. And so now, you know, those buyers got 2-1 odds on a team who's now up 2-0 heading back home. That being said, I know everyone wants to call this series off, but this is still a national team that has had trouble getting over the hump. They're going back home. They have all the pressure in the world on them right now. And so I could see this series getting, you know, tightening up before. I do not see just the Nationals running away with the series. The Astros team has been a big spot before. These guys know how to hit. Zach Greinke is no schlub. Before everyone wants to write the series off, I do think we will be going back to Houston for game 6. I don't know, you know, it might be 3-2 Nationals, but I do see this series still going back to Houston.
Yeah, I think that's an absolutely reasonable thing to think and to look forward to. I would see I don't see the Nationals running away from this either. I think Houston, too good of a team, primarily because they are leading a lot of the MVP odds, or they were leading a lot of the MVP odds coming in. Gerrit Cole, Verlander, Altuve, Bregman, all kind of the names leading the way. Have you seen any action on those guys, or somebody else kind of taking the reins in the MVP race?
Yeah, in terms of World Series MVP, nothing crazy yet. I think George Springer has an awesome chance, but I think if you look at it now, if the Nationals do win it, I don't see how you don't give it to Juan Soto. That guy has been just clutch. He's a monster at the plate, the patience, and as I like to joke, every Nats fan and bettor always like to say, he's only 20. He's only 20. He actually turns 21 today, I believe. That's quite the 21st birthday is starting in the World Series. So if the Nationals win, Juan Soto, and if the Astros win, I mean, that story has still not been written, right? I mean, they don't win yet. So, but I think George Springer probably has the leg up if on the Astros right now.
And then switching to the world of the NFL, it was best case scenario for Kansas City with Mahomes only going to miss a few weeks. But even with that, have you seen some tickets being sold either for Kansas City or for Mahomes' MVP chance?
Yeah, it definitely put the MVP race right up back up for grabs. I think I talked about it on the show. I mean, he was an even money favorite 2 weeks in a row after having two subpar games. This was before the injury. And then finally, Russell Wilson came on and he became the favorite. Then the injury happened, and Russell Wilson was even more of the favorite. And then, you know, one of the knocks, you know, we have a podcast, Props Up Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify. We kind of broke down the MVP race a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about, this is when Mahomes was the even money favorite, we were talking about some of these double-digit long shots that had a chance, and one we talked about was Aaron Rodgers, was 15-1 like 3 weeks ago. And really the knock on him was he just didn't have a whole lot of passing touchdowns. This was right off their convincing Cowboys win, but Aaron Jones picked up four touchdowns in that game, right? And so we thought maybe, okay, well, you know, we thought maybe that's going to change and you can never count on Aaron Rodgers. And sure enough, he goes and sets a franchise record last game, I think five throwing touchdowns and one rushing touchdown. And so he right now, he is the co-favorite with Russell Wilson, both 3.5-1. So that being said, once again, this MVP race is completely up for grabs. There will be a lot more to be had here. In terms of Mahomes and the Chiefs, not so much activity. I think people realize this would be the bottom to sell out on the Chiefs, realizing that he's going to come back. It's probably going to be a three-week injury. You know, Matt Moore is not that bad. I mean, he came in and looked pretty good against the Broncos. That being said, that's not much to say. You know, it's not saying much, but I think they're a live dog this week at home, prime time against Green Bay. They're catching 4.5. I think they're live. And so if you're the Chiefs bettors out there are not jumping ship just yet, which I think is probably the smart thing to do, right? The objective is buy low, sell high, right? So this is not the time you want to sell the Chiefs. But when Mahomes comes back and maybe gets a couple wins under his belt, that's when you want to sell your Chiefs tickets.
And then we're approaching the halfway point of the NFL season, and Buffalo still hanging in there in the AFC East right behind New England. Have you seen any more tickets bought on them to possibly make a playoff run this season?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have some tickets pop up for sale on the marketplace, some big ones at that. So if you do like Buffalo, then we've got some tickets for you. And again, PropSwap.com, we just launched a brand new website. It's new look, new feel. More customization, easier to search. The bidding is way better, so you can actually log on and see if a ticket has a bid on it or not. Once you submit the bid, you can cancel it any time, and then when if the seller does accept, it's a seamless transaction, goes right through. So right now we've got Bills to win the Super Bowl, a ticket that collects $30,000 if you win the Super Bowl. That's currently priced for 800, odds of 37-1. We've also got some Bills AFC Championship tickets up for sale, one that collects $20,000, currently priced at 1,300, odds of 15-1. And again, all these tickets are available to bid. So if you like the Bills, but think, you know, 36-1, 37-1 is too rich, then you can go ahead and place a bid and the seller can accept or reject.
And looking at the Heisman race now, we've had a couple twists and turns in that so far this season, and Joe Burrow of LSU has now made a pretty big indent in his Heisman odds. Have you seen any tickets on him come up for a possible Heisman contender?
Yeah, so we have some Joe Burrow tickets up for sale right now. But yeah, I mean, just talking about the race for a second, Tua getting injured definitely opens it up. Trevor Lawrence, who is the big favorite before the season, he has not had a good year, so he's pretty much out of the race. And so Tua being out a week or two really opens it up for Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts. I think those are the two top contenders right now. We just sold a Hurts ticket at 2-1 yesterday for $600. And so we've got some Burrow tickets up for sale. They're both around right now. One sale price of $2,000 to collect $4,000, and the other one is priced at $11,000 to collect $22,800. And so, again, you can bid on these tickets. But then we also just did sell a Burrow ticket earlier in the week for actually a really good price for the buyer. was around 3-1 Burrow to win the Heisman. So you can find some good deals, right? If you see a ticket you're interested in and you want to submit a bid, sellers will accept less when it's offered to them. Yeah, we sold earlier this week Joe Burrow to win the Heisman, sale price of $750 to collect $3,000. So those were odds of 3-1 on Joe Burrow, and that's way better than what you would find in the sports book. But that being said, right, we just talked about MVP, talk about Heisman. These voting awards can be very fickle. They can change on a dime. Voters will take one game more into account than another game. And so I think with Joe Burrow, everyone's waiting to see what's going to happen. Not this week, home against Auburn. I think everyone's projecting he'll have a good week. Tua won't be on the field to stay with him. But in the following week, they play at Alabama. And I think that's the game everyone's waiting to see. And so that's all. And so, that's all baked into the odds, right? So if you're holding a Joe Burrow ticket and you're like, well, no, I'm gonna just bank on him having a good game this week, and then I'll sell next week. The value is not going to go up that much this week just because he has a good game. Everyone knows he's expected to have a good game. Everyone's waiting to see against Alabama. So if you're holding a Joe Burrow ticket, don't think that this thing is going to skyrocket in value because of one good game, because everyone's waiting. And then I keep talking about what happened last year in the Heisman race. Tua was -1,000 odds heading into the last game of the season. He had a pretty bad showing against Auburn, and then a really bad game in the SEC championship game where he got hurt, right? In basically 1.5 games, he went from -1,000 to losing the thing. And Kyler Murray played really well, and he won the thing. So these things can shift on a dime. And so if the name of the game is making money, right? And so if you're holding a Joe Burrow ticket, I've seen tickets at 30-1, 50-1, 75-1, 200-1, right? The name of the game is making money, right? And so if you can make a huge profit on this ticket right now, then that's the goal, right? Don't get caught on what the potential collect is, because that thing can crash and burn in a second, right? Injuries happen, bad games happen. And so, while he's the favorite today, he may not be the favorite tomorrow.
That's right. But nonetheless, always a lot of opportunities to be had here at PropSwap. And you mentioned it, Ian. Go to the website, PropSwap.com, newly renovated, new look, super easy to operate. And then, of course, follow you guys on social media and listen to the podcast. And where can they find you guys on social media to follow you?
Yeah. If you want more PropSwap news and insights, you can follow us. We are at PropSwap on Twitter, as well as at PropSwap on Instagram.
There you go. Follow him on social media. Listen to the podcast. Go to PropSwap.com. Don't miss out on any chances to make some good money. Ian, as always, thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Big thank you again to Mr. Ian Epstein of PropSwap for talking to us here on the Spencer Wilson Show. And remember, you can find out for free the current value of your sports bet at PropSwap.com. There are a whole new set of better odds that now only exist at PropSwap, where there are no rules, only opportunities. When we come back from the break, Mr. Sean Cloud will have his fantasy tips for you heading into week 8 of the NFL season. That's coming up next on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more. Well, we've already entered week 8 of the NFL season, so to know who to play, who to sit, what to watch out for on the front lines of the fantasy battlefield, we turn to Mr. Sean Cloud once again.
I like that, fantasy battlefield.
The fantasy battlefield.
It's like I'm playing, what's that game called? Battleship.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely.
But it's not like that at all.
It's not like that at all.
There's too much math involved in here.
Let's get into it, Sean. Players to start. Who are you liking this week?
So players to start that I'm liking, I like Eckler from the Chargers. I know Melvin Gordon is back, but if you've looked at previous fantasy weeks, he's just not producing. He's more of the run guy. Every time they throw to him, he only goes a couple yards. But Eckler is the guy to get if you want heavy points. I know that he's sitting for regular standard leagues around 12.9 points. I project him to get around 17 points. That's what he's kind of averaging since Melvin Gordon came back.
Okay.
So that's who I would definitely start from the Chargers. And I like the way the Chargers are looking. I know we were talking about it earlier. They're like the new cursed team of the league. But I have faith in your Chargers. I have faith. And regardless, they always come up with fantasy numbers even if they lose. So it doesn't really matter in terms of that. In terms of sitting really quick, just one in terms of wide receivers really fast because I'm just looking at it. I am sitting Beckham Jr. against New England, even though that he is the number one receiver on the team. You're going against the number one defense. If you're going against the number one defense, I wouldn't really start anyone against them, especially when they're New England and they're kind of scary in general.
That's true.
And then another wide receiver that I bench is Mike Evans. We had this talk last week. Who would you play, Mike Evans or Godwin?
Mm-hmm.
I played Godwin last week, and I was lucky that I got 20 points out of him, and Evans only got 16 points the week before, I'm sorry, because they were on a bye last week. So I'm starting Godwin over Mike Evans. I think the way that Winston went out and said, oh, you know, we need to get the ball to Mike Evans, put a huge target on his back. So getting it to Godwin was good to do, and they still, you know, utilized Evans, but – they're utilizing Godwin more, and Godwin's getting more of the touchdown red zone passes in general.
Yeah.
In terms of tight ends, I would sit Ertz against Buffalo, and I would start Kittle, San Francisco. Jared Cook's questionable to return as well. I wouldn't start him. I would start Ingram for sure.
Yeah.
Giants are looking positive. I don't think they'll win this weekend, but like I said, in fantasy, we don't really care about the teams that win. We care about the teams and the players that get us the most points. So I'm going to say I have five teams that are 6-1 right now out of all my teams. So I'm leading the boards in there. So off of one of them that I get about 145 points off, here's the my starting one. And you can probably pick up some of these players still if you're lucky. But I go Carson Wentz as a quarterback, even though he's going against a tough Buffalo defense. Like I said, they're the kings of comebacks. Mm-hmm. And Wentz, for whatever reason, does better in the second half than they do in the first half. Maybe they're kind of like, that's just the route they go. They like to go down a few. That gives them a little adrenaline to come back and win it, whatever the reason. But he's starting. I also have Chubb against New England. The only reason I chose that is just because it's Chubb, and you don't know when he's going to break out for one of those 95-yard runs again. Eckler, like I said, Lockett's also a starting wide receiver. He is proving, and Atlanta is garbage. It is official. Atlanta cannot come back from where he is. So if you have any Seattle players, whether it's Wilson, whether it's Carson, Lockett, Moncrief, whatever his name is, grab them and put them on.
Because
Atlanta is not doing anything. They'll probably get 3 points. I'm not really sure if Matt Ryan's playing or not. Even if he is, it might be one of those times where we start looking at a new quarterback in Atlanta right now.
Yeah, Mohamed Sanu was shown at practice in New England with the biggest grin on his face. And that we saw that at the Monday night game. Someone kind of was like, oh, he looks like he's going to have fun in New England. I'm like, yeah, wouldn't you be having fun if you went from a 1-6 team to a 7-0 team or a 6-0 team? I'd be smiling, too, if I was Sanu.
I would be, too, and especially with Gordon out on IR, which apparently he was surprised about because he took to Instagram with a, really? Or, like, surprised, whatever it is. All right, the dude's on IR. It's Josh Gordon in general. He wasn't producing much, so Edelman – go back to Dorsett. You know he's going to pick up a lot of that. And then Sanu, you know, with that transfer over, he's going to do some work over in New England as well. Let's see. What else do I have? In terms of defenses, let's say I'm going with the New England defense, but if you don't have the New England defense because everyone already has them, might want to look at the Rams defense.
Okay.
Might want to look at – what was that other team? Seattle's defense. I got to pull up all the matchups again. I have it all written down, people. Hold on one sec for me.
He does. I can vouch for that.
It's just a matter of finding it. All right, so in terms of defenses, I would start versus sitting right now. Uh-huh. I'm just going to list it. Rams versus Bengals, start the Rams defense. Even though they haven't been too great this season, they're going to go against a Cincinnati team that just sucks.
Yeah. You think there's no hope in Atlanta. There is absolutely no hope whatsoever in Cincinnati.
When we're talking about teams that are the worst in the league and you're going through like the 0-7 Bengals, or 0-7 Bengals and the Miami, and you're like, oh, Miami is actually looking better than Cincinnati. You kind of have to like – scratch your head like you're doing right now. You're
scratching my head.
How is that working?
That.
But
like,
it's true. They're just not producing anything. Let's see. I would go the Jaguars defense against the Jets. That's pretty much where you're going to go. Anything else lower than that, you're kind of maybe the Steelers against the Dolphins, but the Dolphins are producing right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure how well the Steelers defense is going to do against that, especially with a new one in. defenses I would sit for sure, the Browns defense, the 49ers defense, I'd probably sit as well. They are going against a Carolina team that's probably going to run up a lot of points on them. It's going to be a high-scoring game probably. But if the 49ers defense can handle the Carolina Panthers, then we have to say they're also a top-tier defense right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would sit the Bucs defense. I would sit the Titans defense. But like I said, if you're in an 8-10-man thing, you can't do these things. Maybe grab the Packers defense just because the Chiefs aren't the Chiefs without Mahomes sitting there, although they have been looking pretty, pretty good. Quarterbacks to start. It is bye week, so if you don't have Lamar Jackson, you might want to grab Josh Allen, like I said last week. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold is a popular choice. I know Baker Mayfield's taken a lot of places. Daniel might be a good one to do as well. Pretty much any quarterback at this point. Now, here's one that I thought was pretty interesting. Matthew Stafford is available in probably 70% of leagues right now.
Wow.
Which is insane because he's producing numbers. He's trying to do work. So if you can grab him now. It is Friday, so after tomorrow, you probably won't be able to do any waiver claims. And I work all of my stuff off waivers. I don't do any trades personally. It's hard to do a trade nowadays. Everyone's like, oh, well, if I do this trade, you know, blah, blah, blah. So trades are really hard. Go off of that. Other than that, I mean, it's going to be a week. This is probably the easiest weeks to choose your fantasy players in terms of who's playing who. I think it's the easiest week. Watch me get like 6 correct in terms of picks, but we'll talk about that next anyway. I really don't have anything else. That's the only things I wanted to say in terms of fantasy. Those are the key things to look out for. Your defenses are primed right now. Yeah. You know, wide receivers are running thin because we don't have quarterbacks that can get the balls to them right now. You know, you really have to play off of the teams that are really good with Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Tom Brady, Rodgers. You know, you got to play off that. Deshaun Watson even is a great one, but he's already taken in 99% of leagues. I know that because I tried to grab him. So other than that, until this week passes and we see what kind of injuries we get from this week, because there's probably going to be more in general. One other thing, questionable marks. Kamara is still questionable. Game time decision. If you have Murray, start Murray. He's probably going to be the one that starts the game. And even if Kamara does play because of that high injury, he will be limited. So get Latavius Murray, put him in. I'm starting him in all the leagues I have him in.
Yeah.
And like I said, Eckler is definitely the number one guy in the Chargers. He's probably going to be my fantasy like lock this week. I'm watching 22 points. 22, because they're going to throw to him. You know the Chargers are going to be down early, and they're going to need to throw that ball.
They like to try and make comebacks. Can't really do it, but they like to try and make comebacks. There you have it, Mr. Sean Cloud with his fantasy insights for you to go out there and try to dominate your fantasy leagues this week. When we come back from the break, we will give you our reaction to Thursday Night Football, and we'll also do a quick preview for Game 3 of the World Series going down tonight in our nation's capital. That's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
Well, I mean, the team we expected to win last night did win. I mean, Minnesota did pick up the victory over Washington, but 10 points seems closer than now that I thought it was going to be. I thought Minnesota was going to
destroy them.
I mean, essentially destroy them. I thought it was going to be a 3-possession win. I thought in either second, third quarter, they'd kind of explode out for that victory. And Washington just played some solid defense and never really let them get too far away. I mean, it was really a game of field goals primarily for the first half before the one touchdown at the end of the second quarter. But then all field goals essentially in the second half. So it was really, I mean, it was a game where defense really came out and shined.
Yeah,
it was pretty impressive. Kirk Cousins, although he only missed 3 completions, he was 23 of 26 for 285. Didn't throw a touchdown, also didn't throw an interception, though was sacked 3 times. But I feel like that's the kind of guy you need from Cousins. He doesn't have to throw touchdowns for you to win, as long as he's not turning the ball over and he's helping move the ball down the field, which he was. I was talking about it yesterday that I wanted to see Washington move on to Dwayne Haskins. I kind of feel like Washington is in the same place Miami is. Your season's not going anywhere. you're not going to be a postseason contender. So when you have your young guy that is essentially being primed to be your next franchise player, give him time and let him be out there on the field. I'm going to pull my hair out when I see Fitzpatrick on the field for Miami again this weekend. And I was pulling my hair out when I saw Keenum take the field in the first quarter for Washington. I got nothing against Case, and I made that clear yesterday as well. But he just isn't giving you anything to really spark your offense. So I think Dwayne Haskins has now gotten two second halves this season to play in a game. And I think that's no way to get him accommodated or comfortable with this system or with this team. So it's driving me crazy, but if you're Washington, just to accept Dwayne Haskins moving forward. They might have to, depending on how bad Case Keenum is, since he got taken out of the game and at the end of the first half. But I would like to see Dwayne Haskins get more time and actually become the guy for Washington this season. I think it's time. I think it's time for a change. It needs to be young guys getting the chance to play. When you have a season, because it's so rare that you have a season in the NFL where you can go, hey, it's time for us to develop a player. Because most of the time, you want to be playoff contenders. You want to be pushing for that postseason. But you're 1-7 right now after 8 games. You've hit your halfway mark, and you're 1-7. Not going to make the playoffs. That would be incredible. If Washington came back on a run and finished the year 9-7 and somehow squeaked into the wild card picture, holy goodness. I mean, give everybody on that team a raise. Bill Callahan would need to be the permanent head coach if he were to somehow lead that team back onto that kind of a second-half swing. I don't see it, though. So with your season lost, I mean, what are you going to lose if Dwayne Haskins goes in there? Even if he has the next 2 games and he just completely whiffs it and is throwing interceptions or fumbles or just can't move the ball, what are you losing that you haven't already lost? I mean, Case Keenum hasn't done anything for you, so let Dwayne Haskins step in and really take over. And I do want to point out, hats off to Alexander Mattson. What a game he had behind Dalvin Cook last night. That was a brilliant 1-2 punch that Minnesota was really able to work out. 23 carries for Cook, 13 for Madison. Cook had 98 yards. Madison had 61. Cook had the one touchdown for the team there at the end of the first half. I mean, if Minnesota can get that kind of running duo between those two, and Kirk Cousins even had 2 yards on 2 carries. For whatever that's worth. But I think that was a really brilliant 1-2 punch from Minnesota in the backfield last night.
Right, and they utilized Cook on the passing as well. He had 5 receptions for 73 yards, which kind of took him into the fantasy numbers in general and PPR leagues. But you're right, that 1-2 combo, and to see Madison come out where they're not just relying on Dalvin Cook, they can rely on a secondary to help push that line up, and especially in a game where the passing was there with Diggs with 743 yards, but it wasn't as prominent as it has been in previous weeks because Thielen's out. They don't really have that wide out kind of coverage going with him out anyway.
And same thing with Tampa Bay when they kind of put the target on Evans' backs and they wanted to get to him more. Without Thielen out there, Stephon Diggs is going to take so much of that attention from the secondary, and he did. But that's a great point. This was a great way for Minnesota to kind of get a 1-2 punch out of the backfield and still be able to move the ball through the air as well. You mentioned Dalvin Cook, 2nd in receiving with 5 catches and 73 yards. So it's a team right now that I think is kind of finding its way. They're 6-2 right now. They're still undefeated at home this season, 4-0. So they're hanging into a NFC North division that's tougher and a little more spread out than we thought, with Green Bay leading the way, Minnesota right behind them, and Chicago and Detroit now kind of trying to hang with the rest of the pack. So it'll be interesting to see how Minnesota evolves throughout this season, but they look really good right now, kind of holding their own in a tough league.
Yeah, I kind of want to go back to the Redskins really fast here. So kind of looking at them, the Redskins just don't really have anything to put wild. So you're saying, like, what if they turn 9-7? They're not going to do that.
Yeah, they're not going to do it.
Mainly because they don't have any wideouts. They don't have any really tight ends. I know Reed is still injured. I know Davis is still injured for their tight ends. And the only person that really, pops out when you're looking at, like, if you think, like, hey, Redskins, who do you have for a wide receiver? What name comes to your mind, Spencer?
None.
The only one that comes to mind would be that McLaurin kid, the rookie, and he's it. That's all they have. And then they have AP sitting there as their veteran, you know.
And he's dealing with kind of an aggravation
of that ankle injury. Yeah. But he came off and he looked great.
Oh, yeah. No, he still had a solid game.
With that rushing yards of your boy, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yes, I know that hurt me last night for him to do that. But hats off to him for passing that milestone.
He's the only thing keeping that team together right now. He's the only thing that really, other than minus a few games where McLaurin came out and like just kind of blew the gates off. That's because no one knew who he was.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything other than that. And then this game, you really see from it, it's like four receptions, three receptions, two, one, one, two, one, one. You know, no one's getting anything. No one, there's no names there that are like, you know, like who's this guy who's Sprinkle? His last name is Sprinkle.
Well, and that's kind of what we were talking about with Nevada, too. When you have kind of this jumbling of quarterbacks from time to time, it's hard to get rhythm going. So Case Keenum in his time hasn't given you any rhythm. See what Haskins can do for a couple games. Just see what he can do. Because when you are, like you said, at a lack of weapons like this, sometimes your quarterback can make all the difference in the world. Peyton Manning made Reggie Wayne a star wide receiver.
Right.
Had Reggie Wayne maybe had a different quarterback back there, maybe he isn't the star wide receiver that he was for that team. So your quarterback can change a lot of things for your team moving forward on the offense. But even if it's just a mindset, even if Dwayne Haskins goes out there and kind of, you know, chomps at a couple guys, say, hey, do this or do that, that kind of thing can change your offense. So I would like to see Washington take a bit of a chance on Dwayne Haskins in the next couple games, because your season isn't going anywhere else but either further down or just plateauing where you are right now at one win. So give the young guy a couple games, see if maybe he can spark something on your offense. But as Washington is waiting to see if the Redskins can get it turned around, their baseball team is looking real good right now. Nationals just took two games in Houston against their two Cy Young Award candidates. Whoa. So Washington now going back to the nation's capital. Game three is today in about 2.5 hours or so. And you will get to hear that game here on ESPN Radio. We won't have the pregame because we moved up our Cal Neva buds up to 4 to 5 p.m. so that we can go right from the Cal Neva show into game three of the World Series. So you'll miss the pregame, but you shouldn't miss any of the actual game three of the World Series. So stay tuned for that later tonight. But yeah, this is an incredible playing right now from the Washington Nationals, going home, having Anibal Sanchez on the mound and against Zach Greinke, who are kind of those third stars of each team. And I like Sanchez in that matchup. I mean, Ian said it, and he was very true, that Zach Greinke is no slouch. But in terms of these few pitchers, these few star pitchers that have been involved in this series, he kind of is. So with Anibal Sanchez now going out there and having this home crowd, I mean, that Nationals Park, to say it's going to be rowdy tonight would be an understatement.
They are
going to be in a frenzied state of mind that entire game, unless Houston can get up by maybe 6 or 7 runs. If it's even a 3 or 4 run lead, that crowd is going to continue to hammer that Astros team. So it's going to be real interesting to see how Houston comes out in this game. I would imagine there's some urgency, because if you go down 3-0 and you got to try to win 4 straight games, the first 2 of which would be on the road in Washington, that's essentially a mountain you can't climb. So if you're Astros, tonight is the most important game of your season right now, and you got to go out there and hope that Greinke can give you a dime of a performance and your bats can get going, because Washington's done a great job in silencing some of the power in that lineup. So I can't wait to see what happens again. 5:07 is technically the scheduled time, I imagine, for the first pitch, and you will get to hear that game if you can't watch it right here on ESPN Radio. Before we go to break and we get to our NFL Sunday predictions, we have a second giveaway to get to. Sean, what do we got for the people?
We have another pair of passes to Slaughterhouse at the Greater Nevada Field.
There you go. If you couldn't get one earlier, it's your chance to get another one right now. To caller number 9 at 775-333-0945. NFL Sunday after the break here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more. Thinking I'm not ready, I'm always ready, man. Here we go. Welcome back to the show. We're into week 8. We're ready. I hope you're ready. We're going to start talking about some matchups, because Sean has said you think this is one of the easier weeks to pick winners.
I do. It just has that feel to it because of the teams that are playing and everything just kind of going on. I'm not even on. There we go.
There we go.
I was like,
now
like,
now the people
so
can
low?
Hear you, what you're saying.
Okay, yes. I believe because of the... All right. Because of the teams that are playing and the way I don't even know what I'm going in. The way that was.
The specific matchups today and the way some
Thank
teams
you.
Are going, it's looking like close games is what you're trying
there
to
we
say.
Go.
I barely got through it. So let's just get into it here. We're going to start Chargers-Bears. This was a tough matchup for me because I am a Charger fan. My mom's a Bears fan, so I felt.
Oh my!
I know it was a tough.
You guys are gonna be screaming at each other this weekend.
Yeah, luckily they're going back up to Tahoe on Saturday, so I'll avoid that kind of family interaction where there's a lot of tension on NFL Sunday this time around. But I went with the Chargers again, 3.5 point underdogs on the road. I hope and pray they come out of the gate and try to contend and try to play with Chicago for four quarters instead of leaving it to the fourth quarter, try and make some miraculous comeback, which has failed the last 2 weeks. Last two games anyway. So I got the Chargers and just hoping they can keep pace.
I took the Chargers as well. The Bears, the only thing the Bears has is their defense. That's it. Their offense is nothing. I mean, Trubisky, I just feel like, is a big joke now. It's like, oh, he was supposed to be our guy. All right, well, he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, he's struggling.
Like, he's just not, in my opinion, good. So all they have is their defense. So as long as they can get a few points on the road and then, you know, use their defense to their ability and go against them, I think they'll win.
Next, we got Seattle at Atlanta. I don't even see an over-under on this game because it's probably going to be that bad. But I do have Seattle going on the road, getting this win. I think with Atlanta, question marks around Matt Ryan and just the way the rest of that team is just stumbling over one another, it's Seattle on the road.
I agree. Seattle Falcons have nothing. They don't have a QB. Their run game is shot. They're trading wide receivers because they know that their season's over already. It's just kind of the feel that you're getting. So, yeah, Seattle's going to take it.
Buffalo hosting Philadelphia, the Bills, 1.5 point favorites. I really hope that Buffalo comes out here and has a great game. I picked the Bills. I like him at home. I like the way Josh Allen has played. I think Frank Gore is having a bit of a renaissance right now in Buffalo. And John Brown as well, out there on the receiving end, has done a great job for this team. So I got Buffalo winning a narrow one at home.
I have Buffalo as well. I know the Eagles are, you know, like I said, you know, the kings of comebacks, but that kind of ended last week, so it didn't really matter. And the Bills at home, their defense is stellar regardless.
This team is 5-1? 5-1 right now on the season.
Yeah.
What?
They're right behind New England, so, yeah, you have to take the team that has the better record, especially the team that has the better defense and getting a better offense going. So, yeah, Bills, it'll probably be a close game, and I'm sure the Bills will get up, 21 points, and the Eagles will come back, within 7 at some point. But, yeah. Who's next?
Excuse me. Sorry, I was burping there. I wanted to get off the mic.
Giants
for once
at the Lions.
I think this is going to be a tight game at home. Detroit, 6.5 point favorites. I think Jones, even though he's been a little up and down, a little hot and cold, I think he's going to have a good game. But I like Detroit at home. I think they've played well at home. And Stafford, we talked about a little off there, and we were talking about kind of the Brady future and kind of teams he could go for. We were talking about how Detroit's really like Stafford and what he's been able to do this year. I think he continues that. Detroit wins it at home.
I agree. Detroit at home. I don't really see this as a tough matchup. The Giants are a good team. At least they're starting to look like a good team. But the Lions, they seem like they're on a course of redemption right now. They don't want to be that cursed team anymore.
Yeah, that is very true. And then we move on to Tennessee and Tampa Bay. Tennessee, 2.5 point favorites at home. This was a toss-up just from teams that aren't playing that well right now, not knowing who's going to be able to really figure it out. And really, to me, it's, is Winston going to be more on from the pocket, or is Derrick Henry going to have a better game out of the backfield? That, to me, is kind of the big. I'm not expecting anything from Tennessee at quarterback, whether it's Mariota or Tannehill. Just not expecting a big performance there. I think Derrick Henry is going to have a good game, but struggle a little bit. I think Tampa Bay finds a way to try and get this win on the road, so I went with the Bucs.
I went with the Bucs as well. I've been saying it for almost the whole season. Titans aren't as good as they seem they are. They just have sometimes a good game. And with Tannehill coming in, he hadn't played on that team. The only video you have is him in Miami.
Yeah.
So coming into a new team, that's probably one of the reasons he thrived. But no, I have Tampa Bay going. I think they're the better of the teams. They have definitely the wideout power. They have the defense. Their run isn't that great, but they don't really need that as long as their throwing game's on point.
Then we have the Battle of the Ponies, the Indianapolis Colts hosting the Denver Broncos in Indianapolis, the Colts 5.5-point favorites. Yes, I am absolutely going with Indianapolis at home. Denver's had to rely on their defense. I don't know if they're going to have as good of a game on the road against a Jacoby Brissett-led offense that looks a lot better than any of us were expecting. So I got the Colts winning at home over Denver.
The Ponies. I love that. Battle of the Ponies. That was great.
Thank you.
I have the Colts as well. They look like the better team. They're at home. It's hard to beat a good indie team at home. The Broncos aren't looking solid as we hope they'd look. So, yeah, I'm taking the Colts on this one.
Then the Rams hosting the Bengals in Los Angeles. The Rams 12-point favorites. This would be the upset of the season should Cincinnati walk into Los Angeles. I know the Rams aren't looking like the team they were last year when they made that Super Bowl run, but this is still the Rams, this team with a lot of talent at home. So, it's one thing for Tampa Bay to go in there and win the way they did. Be a whole nother thing if an 0-7 Cincinnati team, who can't even look like they can beat themselves out of the locker room right now, can go walk in there and beat them. So, I got the Rams at home.
I took the Rams as well. If you took the Bengals, there's the door. I'm speaking about one specific person because I know there's at least one person in this office that took the Bengals.
What?
Yeah, oh yeah. I bet you can. Yeah, you know who it is.
I might be able to guess it. I won't do it on air, so I'm going to put him on blast.
But if you pick the Bengals, you should sit down. You should not be watching football anymore. Something is seriously wrong. But then again, if they do win, then we all look like idiots. I look like a straight idiot for telling you that, and I'll walk out the door too. So, yeah, I took the Rams for sure on that.
Saints Cardinals in New Orleans, the Saints 10.5-point favorites. I've liked the way Kyler Murray has looked. I've liked the way this Arizona's team has looked, but it's not going to change anything when you go on the road to that Superdome there in NOLA. So I like the way, even if Breeze isn't back, which he was shooting for this Cardinals games to return, whether he's out there or whether it's Teddy Bridgewater again, I got the Saints winning at home.
I got the Saints as well. I think it'll be a good game, though. The Saints, their defense is solid. I don't think Breeze will. If they're smart, they'll hold Breeze out one more week. I think just Bridgewater is doing work. So their offense is solid. Even if Kamara's not out there, they proved that their running game can survive through it. So yeah, Saints for sure. Even though Cardinals are looking really good, it'll probably be a close game.
Final game of the early window, the Jets at the Jaguars. Jacksonville 6.5 points at home. Didn't take them last week, and I felt like an idiot watching them win that game, although I really felt like Cincinnati might pull it off last week. But not going to make the same mistake twice. I got the Jags winning at home. Go Minshew, baby!
You and your Minshew magic over here. And I took the Jaguars as well. It was a hard bet, but at the same time, the Jags at home with that defense, Minshew magic, Fournette, you have Westbrook, you have Cole, you have Chark, you have all this thing. And Minshew, for whatever reason, he doesn't look great when he runs, but he gets a lot of yards going.
That's very true.
So, yeah, I took Jacksonville. It'll probably be a close game unless we see kind of what happened with New England and the Jets. And that's kind of what I see kind of happening.
And then we could have what may well be the game of the week. The Panthers at the undefeated 49ers. San Francisco favored by 5.5 points. I think it's going to be about a field goal of a game. I think it's going to be tough. Kyle Allen has looked a lot, just really solid in the backfield for Carolina. He's taken over really nicely for Cam Newton. But I still think San Francisco has what it takes to pull it out. I'm going with Niners at home.
I'm going with Niners at home. I have to. I'm a Niners fan. So it really doesn't matter. If the Niners are playing, I'm going to go for them, even if they're a losing team. It's going to be close. I think it's going to be close. This Panthers team does look a lot better without Cam Newton on the field, they look great.
Yeah.
McCaffrey is a beast, and they need to be able to lock him down.
Yep.
That's the goal of the game. Lock him down, get the rush going, and you will win that game.
Next game up, Cleveland at New England. The Patriots, 11-point favorites. Man, looking at the schedule, seeing this game preseason, I thought this could be the game where Baker Mayfield and Cleveland set themselves apart, and this would just be a game for them to kind of enjoy as their season has been very meh to this point. But I got Patriots at home.
It's hard not to take them. They're undefeated. They have the number one defense, like I've been saying, the number one defense, which is interesting to say because they didn't last year. But yeah. They look great. They're gonna destroy the Cleveland Browns. I feel bad for Browns fans. You're gonna get murdered. You are. If you walk out of this game without an injury,
yeah,
I will be surprised because either Baker's gonna get hurt, OBJ might even get hurt. Someone's gonna get hurt, and there's gonna be brawls because it's OBJ. Let's be honest. He's gonna get in someone's face. He's gonna get mad. He's gonna try to get his way. But I took the Patriots.
Last afternoon game, the Raiders at the Texans. Houston touchdown favorites at home. And I like the way Deshaun Watson's been playing. DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, those guys that just continue to be a great 1-2 punch for Watson out wide. So I think Texans will win this game at home.
Texans need a win. They need to come back. The Raiders aren't looking sharp. I know Josh Jacobs is questionable for the game. So I'm definitely taking – oh, wow, that was weird. I'm definitely taking the Texans in this one. They just look better.
Then we get to Sunday Night Football, and what a matchup it would have been had Mahomes been healthy. But nonetheless, it's Matt Moore versus Aaron Rodgers in Kansas City. And I went with Green Bay, specifically for the reason that Mahomes isn't going to be out there. I think Moore does do a good job at the center as the backup quarterback for Kansas City. But for the most part, I just see Green Bay having the power to just overdo it and get the win on the road.
I would say even if Mr. Mahomes was there,
yeah,
Green Bay would probably still take this game. They look like the better team this year, even though you have Tyreek Hill in, like healthy and Kelsey and everything. They really haven't utilized what they had from last year, you know?
Yeah.
Even though that running game's still not there, but McCoy looks solid.
He does.
But I'm taking Green Bay. I just want them to kick Kansas City's little tissue.
Yeah, I do too. The Chargers need the Chiefs and the Raiders and the Broncos really to all lose and for them to win in order to really make up some ground there in the AFC West. So there's our Sunday predictions. We'll recap Sunday and give you our Monday night feels on Monday. We'll possibly have Sean over the phone during that time so he can share
here
with us. All right, I'll be here in studio. Then Cowboys and the Ravens are on the bye week. I don't really see either team profiting more than the other. I think they're going to enjoy their bye weeks and rest up as they are both division leaders. That's the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Big thank you to Sean on the board. Thank you to Coach Norvell and Coach Levins and Learfield IMG College for letting us use those. Have a great weekend. We'll talk on Monday. Peace.